Let us pray together. Our gracious, loving Father, we thank you for an opportunity to gather in your word at your house, to listen to your word. May your spirit make our hearts, as Mary's was, open and receptive. Like Mary, may we say, be it unto us according to your word. As the first person who ever invited Christ not only into her heart, but into her home, her whole being, so we would invite you to come in this place in our hearts and minds, and as Paul said, may we travail until Christ be formed in us. We would see Jesus and him alone, in Christ's name. Amen. As a little boy, like most little boys my age or younger, I watched some TV, but I didn't really like too many of the sitcoms. I thought Brady Bunch was silly, and Gilligan's Island didn't make sense why they packed so many clothes for a three-hour cruise. I didn't like much, but I loved game shows. I still like game shows. I loved game shows. And one of my favorites was a game show called To Tell the Truth. Do you remember To Tell the Truth? I guess it had many hosts, but the one I had as a kid was Gary Moore. And if you remember Gary Moore, the host would ask three people, what is your name, please? And guess what all three people would say? The exact same name. Then the panelists had the job to ask proper questions to determine which one was telling the truth and which one was lying. And at the end, we'd hang in suspense, as Gary would say, now would the real Sally Jones please stand up? And you know how they would play the little game, but then the truthful one would stand. I would suggest to you from our readings and from life that game show is sort of a microcosm, a narrative regarding life. Who can you believe? Can you believe politicians? Can you believe lawyers? Can you believe medical reports? Can you believe financial reports? Can you believe the newspaper? Whom can you believe? Who's telling the truth? Wouldn't you like it if every situation where you wondered what the truth was, it would come to a conclusion within a 22-minute period, like To Tell the Truth, and the truth would stand up. As Pilate asked Jesus much later in the narrative of Jesus' life, what is truth? So we ask that question. Unlike Pilate, who in that narrative was asking it in a fairly sarcastic way, implying that there was no truth, we have to deal with it in a more realistic way. And I would suggest to you the most important question you will ever deal with is the one that Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16. Who do you say that I am? You better know the truth to that answer. It's been pointed out to us this year, this week, that death is inevitable. We will all face that. And at that time, what makes a minister's job easy in doing a eulogy is to know that that person answered the question properly and knew who told the truth. See, a half-truth will send you to a full destruction. Here's some half-truths about Jesus Christ. And they're half truth. There's some truth in it, but it's not enough. I went through and just did some Google searches and just sort of put in, who is Jesus? Here's some answers I got. Jesus is a good teacher. That's true, but it's a half truth. That Jesus is a wonderful role model. That's true, but it's a half truth. Jesus is the epitome of living up to the Christ within. Well, that's sort of true. I don't like the way it's worded, but it's a half-truth. Another site said that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was the most self-actualized human being ever to live. Well, again, I don't like how it's worded, but there's some truth there. But it's a half-truth. You go into Hallmark, you watch television programs, you even look at some cards that sometimes churches send, and you would see that Jesus is a sweet, sentimental tradition. And that's true, but it's a half-truth. See, the passage that Jen read for us today were people that really didn't know what they wanted. They were looking, none seemed to fit, they didn't know who they should follow, they were confused. They only had half-truths. And through that, the crystal clarity comes is that we don't have to find the truth. I never felt this need, but here in shows and other things back in the 60s, maybe some of you did this, you don't have to raise your hand, but I read in the 60s that some people would like drop out of society. They would be like dropouts so they could go and find themselves. I don't want to know if any of you ever went to sort of find yourself. I hope you did. I hope the self you found was one worth the trip. But truth isn't something that we go and seek after. We don't climb high mountains. We don't scale laborious ladders. We don't work through complicated moral, logical statements. Rather, it's pretty simple to be a Christian. Full truth is not something we find. Full truth is something that finds us. Full truth, like Paul, i.e. Saul, walking on the Damascus Road, full truth comes to us. It invades us, and it invades us in a way, though, that if we don't understand the paradoxical nature of it, we'll miss it. It comes to us wrapped in swaddling clothes. In just a few moments, you'll hear in the Eucharistic prayer, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The full truth comes to us in Jesus Christ. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came to us in Jesus Christ. The one, John the Baptist said, who's, "I'm not worthy to untie his shoe," comes to us. The one who is truth incarnate comes to us. Jesus comes to us, and what we do, as John the Baptist says, to prepare the way. But too many of you are Marthas, right? When Martha heard "prepare the way," what did Martha feel the need to do? A whole lot of work, a whole lot of stuff. We hear "prepare the way" like Martha would hear. No offense to Martha, Martha, or any other Martha. But it is a principle. It's an unfortunate name in Scripture. Though you do want a few of them, because somebody needs to bring the desserts. We don't want everyone to be self-actualized, or we wouldn't have anything to eat. Anyway, so when we hear it, because we're geared to pull ourselves up by the bootstrap, we're geared to not just stand still, but to do something. When we hear "prepare the way," we hear there's something we've got to do. Rather, when we hear "prepare the way," we must respond like a Mary. It's not something we do. It's something we focus upon. It's something we hear. It's something we believe. The psalmist tells us that joy comes in the morning. And in a few minutes, I'll identify what that joy is. Isaiah told us in a passage that we read some Sunday. I've gotten confused with all the snow, and I don't know when it was, but it's in there. Isaiah 26:3, "He will keep him in perfect peace whose eyes are fixated or focused like Mary on Christ." The word "focus" is an interesting word. The word "focus" comes from the Latin word "foca." And if you know Latin, you know what "foca" means in Latin? Fireplace. Fireplace. Well, what does a fireplace and focus have to do with one another? Well, if you look and see how the word traditioned over time, the etymology of it is the fireplace was, or the hearth was the place at most homes where people would gather to share stories, to pay attention, to have their life. So foca or fireplace became that where we, the center. You go in most traditional homes and there's a fireplace in the center. Sometimes we put a TV up that's a little bigger, but it's a fireplace. It's a focus. It's the center of the home. And in the same way, our peace comes from seeing through the power of the Holy Spirit this full truth that comes to us in Jesus Christ, and then just keeping our eyes there. I love fires. I love sitting around campfires. And I love sitting around campfires and being mesmerized as I'm focused on the flame. The psalmist would tell us that joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. We know it's here because the psalmist also said, not in that same passage, but the psalmist also said in Psalm 17, a parallel to joy comes in the morning. The psalmist says, "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness." There's a lot of expectation going on. People are expecting to see the likeness of family members that may be coming home for this season. Of youngsters, it might be for the familiar face of Santa Claus. And for all of us as believers, our satisfaction, our ability to rest, the peace that passes all understanding, isn't something we have to go look for. It comes to us. We've just got to stay focused on it. We've got to prepare the way by believing it and fixating and in seeing His likeness. It doesn't matter about anything else. We will be satisfied. And we will have that satisfaction that we can rest in and have joy. That's the full truth. Amen. Thank you. Satisfaction comes through the lens of purple. Tom Bryant has no right or authority to offer you the holy body and blood of Jesus Christ. You have no authority to receive it. But guess what? We have full satisfaction in knowing the full truth that we are not here on our own accord. We're not here under our own garments. We are here covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are here through the royalty of Jesus Christ. And that gives us the satisfaction whether we're full and healthy or drawing our last breath, that we will see His likeness and we'll be satisfied. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Surely it is you, Lord God, who saves us, for you are our stronghold and our sure defense, and you shall be our Savior forever. From bondage and from exile, you brought your people home. You gave Zion a song, filled Jerusalem with joy, and renewed your children in praise. When your creation was captive to sin, you sent your Son to restore your people. Upon the cross, he bore the sin of the world, and through his resurrection, you have become our salvation. In your love and by your Spirit, you have opened the wells of salvation to flow through all the earth with the water of rejoicing. And so we give you thanks with the saints of every age, and exalt you in the company of heaven as we join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, for thine is the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, for thine is the highest.
Gathering God, as grain is collected from the fields, in your Son you draw us to yourself. And as that grain is drawn together in this holy meal, you make us one. Send your Holy Spirit upon your church to make us your harvest of righteousness. Sanctify this bread and cup that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ our Lord, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. Again, he gave you thanks. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ is died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Holy One of Israel, you are the Great One in our midst. Come and dwell among those who long to know you amid toil and strife, where your loved ones have been exiled by judgments against them. Remove every fear from their hearts and give them hope. Where your sons and daughters face the threats of enemies, show them how best to love their persecutors. Where oppression has turned your children into outcasts, gather them in your arms and carry them home. Bring us to that day when shame turns to praise and all creation resounds with rejoicing in your midst. Holy One, Eternal Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.